Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hi, I'm Joe Kingsbury, Global Chair of Edelman Business Marketing, and it's a pleasure to have you with us on The Trust Makers podcast. In this episode, we're going to dive into the topic of brand building, trust, in a time of incredible technological change. I couldn't be more excited about the guests joining us to explore that topic. With me today is Lynette Jackson, the Chief Communications Officer at Siemens, a company that's been at the forefront of innovation across several industries for 175 years. Wow. She is a seasoned communicator and a brand builder in the technology industry. So Lynette, it's great to have you here and welcome to the Trust Makers.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll just point out that I haven't been with Siemens for 176 years.
That would be quite an accomplishment. Lynette, you've worked to build technology brands throughout your career in marketing communications. What initially attracted you to work in technology?
I have to admit that it happened by accident that I found a company that was down the road from where I was working in a PR consultancy. And then I was interested in the international element of working at that company. And then I realized that it was technology. And then I've stuck with it because it's endlessly changing. And from a communications perspective, that means you've got something new to write about, talk about all of the time.
How do you think the role of communications and marketing in the tech sector has evolved since you began your career?
I was really thinking about this preparing for our conversation today, and it made me remember very early thought leadership activities that I was doing, and now it's more than 20 years ago, and trying to be credible for a business-to-business audience. And we used to have biannual publication that was really deep thought leadership content around, at the time it was airbags and seatbelt system, but really, really highly credible, deep content. And so what's changed is the volume of information that all of us have to consume. Our customers are no different. I was reading over the weekend that it's something like 74 gigabytes of information that we all have to process. And that's about the equivalent of 16 films a day. And so I think that's the challenge for us, is we've got to stand out more than we used to have to. Way back when, our customers would choose to receive and subscribe to newsletters. And then now our customers, just like all of us, are bombarded with digital information every second of their waking day.
Undoubtedly, we're all drowning in information today, and that's a pretty staggering statistic you mentioned there. The 2024 Edelman Trust Barometer is focused on the acceptance of innovation in a rapidly changing world, and one of the findings from the report is that business is the most trusted institution to integrate innovation into society. How does Siemens view its role in introducing innovations, not only as a large, meaningful business itself, but also as a major technology innovator and a driving force behind many of the changes that end up touching people's daily lives?
I was really interested, and it made me think, this notion of how trustworthy information is about technology and how people are feeling a little bit overwhelmed with the pace of change in technology. So I would split it in terms of our customers who are largely quite technical, many engineers. So there, it's great that we can read from your report that they trust us, and they're likely to trust us more than they do other institutions. But then if I go into the communities where we work and among our employees, then I think we have a task to help take them along with us with that rapid pace of change in technology. And what does that look like? Then it is about us breaking it down and often explaining why a technology is going to have a benefit. We talk about technology to transform the everyday. And so then it's about, for the different stakeholders, explaining that in potentially easier terms than to that technical audience.
I also grew up in the enterprise technology industry, Lynette, and I remember a mentor that I used to work with who always talked about the importance of making issues kitchen table, right? There's certainly a role for the technical in certain settings, but to really be able to make things almost as if you were having a conversation at the kitchen table, how would you explain something for your grandmother, for example? So that definitely resonates with me. Siemens has a large, complex set of stakeholders to the business. How do you think about building and maintaining trust across such a wide array of people with, in some cases, very different interests and concerns?
As all good communications functions, then we do try and segment our audiences and think about what they need at the different stages of their journey with us. And something else that is incredibly important is to build trust. You need to think about consistency. You need to think about the value of your content. You need to think about making it accessible. I'm going to steal your kitchen table. So it's about making it accessible as well. So we really do it in a technical way and use data and analytics to check how we're doing at the different phases of that journey.
So speaking of technology, artificial intelligence is at the forefront of conversation across just about every industry today, especially technology companies like Siemens. And according to the Trust Barometer, AI is seemingly at a crossroads, with 35% of global respondents saying that they reject the innovation and 30% say that they accept it. With now being such a key moment for the development and the rollout of artificial intelligence, how are you considering implementing and communicating about AI at Siemens?
I can remember, like probably most communicators, the moment that I heard about ChatGPT, but that wasn't the first time I'd had to think about AI for Siemens. That's been something since I joined the company 5.5 years ago. We've been looking at AI and predictive maintenance. And actually, there was a really nice piece of thought leadership content that talked about ChatGPT's grandmother, because in the early 70s, our research department were doing research on what is now generative AI. And our first production solution was in 1985. So then it becomes, how do you stand out and enhance your credibility when everyone is talking about something where we have a right to be seen as a leader, but there's so much noise. So then we really have to be systematic about making it clear that we're not just talking about something that we just started thinking about 15 months ago, but that we're talking about something where we have a long history. And actually, we're the number one in patents for AI in Europe. And what's even more challenging for us is to make it clear that we aren't just reliant on the partners that we're working with. So we have collaborations with AWS, with NVIDIA, with Microsoft, which is great for showing our leadership, but also could make people think that we are reliant on them. So it's very important that we're communicating our strength and what we bring to the party, which is actually the, you mentioned that we're operating in many different industries and we've got such deep domain know-how there. We're able to take the infrastructure of AI that might be provided by a partner and then apply it. But our communications department, like many others, are looking at it very regularly to say, how do we best communicate to convince our customers that we're the right partner and to gain new customers in this game-changing technology?
Going back to the wide array of stakeholders that you have, and specific to the AI topic, Lynette, how do you think about communicating to, in some cases, very technical audiences that are experienced in AI and may have certain information needs versus the informed public or even the general public? Is that relevant for Siemens? Is there a way that you think about sort of striking a balance among different audiences?
What's important is that relevance. And actually, this week, we're going to be publishing a study that we've done together with MIT to go pretty deep and to give that value added content for the experts among our customer audience. And at the same time, we've got content that is kind of intro to for our people, for our colleagues who might just be grappling with understanding the many different elements of AI. And then we've got pretty much everything in between. And so it's about segmenting the information to make it targeted and relevant and value added for the different stakeholders.
It sounds like a fascinating study. I'll certainly be eagerly awaiting the chance to dig into that. Speaking of studies, Edelman and LinkedIn have partnered on our annual B2B Thought Leadership Impact Report for many years, and we just launched our latest study in February, and it examines how thought leadership influences buying behaviors among global B2B decision makers and C-suite executives. One of the key findings is that 73% of global B2B buyers say that thought leadership is a more trustworthy basis for evaluating a company's competencies than traditional marketing materials and product information alone. Now, Siemens, as a global leader, 175-year-old company, when your leaders speak, people listen. So it's a long way of asking, what is the role of thought leadership in your communications and business strategy?
It's right in the middle of our communications mix. And in some ways in the middle, because I do see it as the intersection of public relations activities and then our branding, and it comes together, because sometimes there's events that are more brand related, but you need that credible content. I see it really as the kind of the marriage between PR and branding. And I see that it's increasingly important, as I mentioned at the beginning, this notion of just people being bombarded with information. And this is a way of being, that dreadful word, sticky and value added. And what I aim for is that we really are creating content that is going to be standout and valuable, that our customers would even want to read it on weekends. Because if I think about my own learning journey, the pace of change in industry, in communications, in technology is such that I find I need to keep myself really informed and curious. And so what I'm aiming is for those target stakeholders that I want to be reading and understanding Siemens, that we're providing the kind of quality content that is worth their while in their free time even.
It's a really important point that you mentioned about potentially even wanting to read or consume something on the weekend, because I suppose it's cliche now, but even in B2B and, you know, even in the corporate world, we're all human beings. And there are so many different things competing for our time, whether it's, you know, Netflix or kids or frankly, anything else. So it's so true. I mean, simply being relevant is not enough today. How do you decide where to focus your energy and your resources when it comes to Siemens thought leadership efforts?
We have a matrix where we think about the continuum of what is visionary and what is credibility. And so the visionary bit is trying to make people's perception go forward and see that we are taking their businesses forward, particularly in technology. But that has to link to a credibility layer, which is what we're good at. And so we do analysis of what are the subjects where we will be taking the minds of our customers forward, and actually use some AI for that to do white space analysis. But importantly, that there was a trend maybe 5 or 6 years ago where you're all talking about what's the white space, what's the buzz, that's where we've got to go. But that doesn't make sense if it's not linking to what you need your customers to know about you, which is the credibility layer. And so what we do is we do that analysis, and then we actually focus quite heavily, and we don't just talk about many, many things. We find some subjects to go more deep. So it's normally about 3 to 4 subjects in a year where we would really deep dive and have an approach to thought leadership. And then because of the breadth of our portfolio, there are other topics where we still need to talk about it, but it's not real what we would describe as true thought leadership.
I'm picturing a Venn diagram, right, of sort of different interests, and you know, the sweet spot is probably somewhere where the parts overlap. Along those lines, what are the business impacts that Siemens really seeks to enable through thought leadership, communications, and marketing?
Rather than real awareness, it's more moving towards consideration and interest for our customers. So as I mentioned, we sort of map the customer journeys and the stakeholder journeys that we're looking people to take. And then it's about having that quality content at the moment where we can move from awareness to consideration to interest. And that is highly relevant for our customers, but also for employer branding. So the tech talent market is hot, And so I think it's really important to be perceived as leading, and that's where thought leadership can come, especially the tech talent that we're trying to attract. And so if we've got that value added content that piques their interest, and as you say, they're human, and that we do that in an engaging way, then it can really support us with employer branding as well as the sales funnel.
You're reminding me too, Lynette, of AI and the use of these technologies in creating customized and personalized experiences for different kinds of audiences. And yeah, certainly AI, the impacts on the way that B2B marketing and communications is being done to have large impacts. Are there any areas where you're particularly excited about using some of these technologies to more effectively engage with customers and other corporate stakeholders?
It's so exciting. And that's why there's the different lenses of AI to understand. So there's the one to actually understand large language models, et cetera, because that's what we're able to bring to industry. But then it's really making sure that my team is up to date on all of the brilliant things that AI can bring to our function. And I'll give you just a couple of examples. One would be intent modeling, which we've been using now for about 3 to 4 years, where we're able to see where there is that interest. And so that you can see where a prospect is searching for your kind of information. And then we're able to give that tailored information. It's because of data privacy, we don't know exactly the name of the person, but we know the industry type from their search. And then we're able to serve targeted campaigns and content that will serve their needs. When that first came across my desk, I was just blown away by the potential in that. And then we've been getting more and more sophisticated in how we use that. And then obviously there's the personalization element. And especially in such a large international corporation, the power of translation and the quality of translation that you can have today is really changing the game for us, both in terms of preparation, but also live translation offerings that we can provide.
Absolutely. And actually, it was in a past research study that we did with LinkedIn on B2B thought leadership, where a surprising majority of global B2B buyers said that one of the main problems with the majority of the thought leadership content that they see is that it doesn't even seem to be created with their needs in mind. So certainly some of the technologies that you just alluded to, Lynette, could go a long way toward improving that kind of experience for important stakeholders.
Isn't it exciting? Because I think the developments in this space are coming at such a pace that it's, you know, almost every week I learn some new potential use case of AI. And I was reviewing videos that we've prepared that are AI generated, explaining some benefits of a new technology. Quality is phenomenal.
Particularly for a large company like Siemens, what that could do for your ability to now do that at scale and to create personalized content experiences at scale is just amazing. And I feel like we're just at the very beginning stage of seeing those effects. I want to go back to trust for a moment. So oftentimes when we talk about the importance of trust, at least in terms of the mainstream conversation, you know, we're looking at the relationship between brands and consumers. But trust, as you well know, is also essential in B2B relationships. And arguably, in my opinion, building trust is even more vital in the B2B context, especially when the stakes can be high and business decisions can be consequential. So what advice would you give to other B2B brands that are looking to build trust with their stakeholders?
I often think of it as painting a picture via a mosaic. And what's really important is every single tile in the mosaic needs to be consistent and true to the brand that you're trying to portray is one bit. So that consistency and that quality. But then it's also about people and to make sure that you have the right spokespeople and voices for your brand who provide that credibility and enhance the trust. And so it's kind of looking at every single thing that you do and thinking about quality, coherence, consistency, value, and that transparency is really, really important. So being ready when things don't go right to manage it in the best possible way.
Well, even amid all of the technological change we've been talking about today, in some ways, I find it reassuring to know that the fundamentals still matter quite a bit. And, you know, some of the things that technology can't quite do for us yet is, or maybe they can help, but there still is a human role in asking the right questions, understanding what the challenges and opportunities facing clients and customers might be, and really turning that into a thoughtful experience. So reassuring to know that there is still a strong role for people, I guess.
Even more important, I think the stakes are higher than ever to get that right, because I remember when I was first able to be Googling to inform my work, which was luckily for me pretty early in my career, but it wasn't there from day one. It was, I think, probably year two or three where then really search engines were coming to their own. And then that you have to be checking your sources. And that's going to become ever more important as you're able to gather even more input from a wider net with large language models, with other AI tools. Then we're going to need to train ourselves and our people to be even more cautious to ensure that quality. Because as we were saying, in terms of creating trust, quality and consistency are absolutely essential. And without that great control by real humans, you can go very badly wrong.
Absolutely. And actually, Lynette, it reminds me how even my own children, who are still pretty young in school, they're teaching them now skills on how to verify information and check third-party sources and to actually have a thought process about whether or not something that they hear is credible. So I'll remain optimistic that we'll be well prepared for all of these things that are going to happen. Well, that's the time that we have for today. We could have gone, I'm sure, so much longer. But Lynette, I want to thank you for sharing your insights and expertise. And to our listeners, thank you for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.